horn. You hear that?
I do.
You know what that means?
It's Christmas. It
means some fat guy broke into my house and's eating my cookies. No, it's a holiday special, Lauren. And do we have a holiday special? You know, we at Transatlantic History Ramblings aren't all serious history people all the time. We like to let our hair down and share holiday memories with our friends and our loved ones and the people we all love and our regular guests and our favorite people. And Lauren, we got a collection today. People are going to be popping in and out throughout the whole show. And look, we already got three living legends to begin the show. The voice, the face of Detroit big time wrestling, the man, the myth, the mustache, the perm, the big frilly shirts, the big bow ties, the star of I Like to Hurt People, Terry Sullivan's here, Lauren.
Woo!
Can feel your excitement now.
Johnny O, I think it's amazing.
Oh, thank you, Lauren, number
Lauren's
two.
Lauren is excited.
Lauren, doesn't it feel weird to have your own second evil Lauren here as well?
Well, maybe. I'm just saying. She might do fun evil things. Who knows? It might be the chaos you all need.
It could very well be. But before we get to Lauren number two, well, I shouldn't say that because that makes it sound like we're talking about Lauren poop number two. But no, this is, you know, Lauren number
Lauren's
two is
number
almost
two.
As good as Lauren number one. No, well, it depends on who you ask. She does have two nephews that are at that age where everybody's poop.
I heard that's a thing on OnlyFans.
Lauren,
I think that's an actual.
Did you thing. Give? Did you give Jeremy your OnlyFans account?
Don't have one.
I do all her messaging and all her talking now for her.
But we'll go to the OnlyFans subscriber, the one and only star of Scare Package 1 and Scare Package 2, one of my favorite Pirates of the Caribbean, the guy who's been, let's face it, folks, he's been in Hallmark movies, okay? Been in Hallmark movies.
Out, Ryan, I got a big one coming out.
What's the one, Something of Love? What was the one where you have a cop?
No, that was Sinister Seduction.
Sinister Seduction, which is I was going to call the next episode you were on with me.
And that was Lifetime.
Well, that was Lifetime.
Taste of Love will actually be coming out on Hallmark pretty soon.
Jeez.
Ooh, co-starring the legendary Martin Cove.
Martin Cove and Jesse Cove.
Yeah, yep. And Jesse, his son. I just met them recently and actually mentioned, hey, I've heard you got stuck working with Jeremy King. And he goes, oh, yeah, good kid.
So, guy sucks.
Good kid. Jeremy King. Jeremy, how are you?
Woo! Thank you, Lauren. I'm good. Glad to be here. I'm feeling ho, ho, hoey.
Well, thing? It
Mary.
Is.
Feeling Mary.
Who? Mary is better than hoey.
Don't tell my wife no, Mary I'm feeling is Mary.
Or hoey.
Or hoey.
And also, to begin, we have the author of over 1,000 books. The man who has written, I think he's written everything from the Bible to Twilight to what's the one with the bondage and shit?
That was Twilight.
Okay.
Well, yeah, what is it? Many Shades of Gray or something like that?
Yes.
50 Shades of Gray.
50
Shades, there you go.
Which is only about 593,000 books less than Tim has written. Researcher, Emmy Award winning researcher, historian, author, legendary investigator of all things weird and wild, Mr. Tim Schwartz. How are you, Tim?
Hey, Brian. Thank you for having me on today. And I should add that, you know, you said that I was one of the authors of the Bible. And I should note that the 50 Shades of Grey were that was in the original Bible, but somewhere along the way it got cut out.
Well, you know, you can't fit everything.
No.
And that story, though, they were all related, weren't they?
Yeah, that's what got canceled.
It was a guy and his two daughters. Wasn't that what it was?
Yes, that would have been Lot. Lot and his daughters.
They left a lot of Lot.
A lot of love.
Well, we are here to celebrate the holidays, and here we are talking terrible about it because, you know, we
because we can.
Because we're immature with potty mouths. But Lauren's not. Lauren is the adult in the room, and she will keep us on the straight and narrow. Right, fake Lauren?
Yes! Hello!
But Lauren, we'll start with you because we're all in America, you know, where, like, the real world is.
Right.
You are over there in Wales. And how is the holiday season shaping up in Wales? Is it feeling festive over there yet?
Yes, it is actually. Yeah, with my church, we packed 2,000 bags of chocolate and Christmas treats, and we gave them to local school children. We've also been able to take them to care homes and this home where they teach teenagers that are transitioning out of the care system how to manage their budgets and everything. So they've had some as well. So there were a lot of bags. And it was great fun. So, yes, it definitely feels festive after that.
Good for you.
You see that? See, we're all acting like idiots. And Lauren's like, yeah, I'm bagging up stuff for, like, the children and the needy and the poor and spreading goodwill and cheer throughout Wales. And, yeah, who's the adult in the room? Way to make us feel low, Lauren.
Orphans.
Well, you know I'm a bully, so.
We know Lauren is a bully for those regular listeners. We did have someone who was triggered. They actually wrote in they were triggered by the fact that Lauren doesn't laugh at my jokes and that she comes across like a pompous bully.
That was me. I wrote in.
That was Jerry. Hi, Lauren.
I didn't want you when I getting you in trouble, but you know I had to share my feelings.
It's really funny because it was the episode he was really racist about me being from Wales.
What did I say that was so bad, Lauren?
You know what you said.
I called her a sheep shagger.
Can you be racist against an area?
Xenophobic, really. Apparently, if you can, I am. So
we got. You know that, Brian. We're all embarrassed to be here.
See, that's what we do on this episode: is we bash Brian. Lauren's a bully, and then we find out Lauren's got the biggest heart in the world and is like packing up chocolates for people all over the place. But that's what I want to talk about with everybody here, because we're all from different parts of the country and different parts of the world as the show goes on. And we all have our own holiday traditions and family things and memories and, you know, things that make us happy or sad or, you know, hungry if we're in Wales because they all get chocolates. But I'm going to go in order of the screen. So this is no particular order, folks. I'm not like singling people out, but we're going to start with you, Tim.
Oh, goodness.
What is a happy holiday memory from your life?
Oh, geez.
Or a holiday tradition that you share?
Oh, my. you know, that's, I got to think about that one for a moment because, I mean, my life has just been just one heartache after another, especially during the holidays. And, you know, just no happy memories, just completely sordid, terrible events. And is this working, by the way?
I'm crying.
I'm sad.
Well, you know, okay. Seriously, I mean, I grew up in the Midwest in central Indiana, and you know, when I was a kid, Christmas usually meant that we had snow, and that's rare nowadays this time of year. I mean, and I don't know if it's because of climate change or what. Of course, now we're in. I live in southern Indiana, which didn't get the snowfall like central Indiana. But you know, that's something that I do miss at Christmas time, is that whole white Christmas thing. You know, we were so, and this is probably this would probably trigger somebody. I mean, we were such a white bread family, you know, I mean, we always had like the traditional suburban type of Christmas. You know, the tree went up fairly early in December and wouldn't come down until after New Year's. And and my wife, she's a little bit younger than me, and her family, they always took the tree down just right after Christmas. And to me, that was just sacrilegious. When we first got married, and she suggested, well, okay, Christmas is over, let's take the tree down. And it's just like, get away from that tree. The things that I always remember about Christmas is that anticipation the entire month, you know, when you're a kid, of December. The tree goes up, and, you know, there are a few gifts under the tree that, say, like a family would send. And my mom and dad, they wouldn't hide those. They would hide the ones that, you know, Santa was supposed to bring. But then gifts from family would go under the tree.
Wait a second. What do you mean they hid the gifts from Santa? Why didn't Santa just bring them?
A lot of people don't know that sometimes Santa has to drop off gifts early.
That's right.
He's very busy.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
He doesn't particularly like to go to Indiana, so he drops off.
I mean, do you think that Santa actually carries all the toys with him? A majority of them are FedExed, you know, to your house, and your parents have to store them, you know, until Christmas.
Terry, what about you in Detroit? Did Santa get to your place?
Oh yeah, Santa came, definitely, sure.
Well, you're Ohio though, right?
Yeah.
And I heard Santa has a problem with Ohio.
What might that be?
Well, Canton, for one. Akron. Sorry, Misha. Little shout out to Akron there. But no, Terry, what about you? What's your holiday traditions and memories of Christmas?
Mostly wrestling. And the reason for that was from the time I was about 19 or 20, we ran two wrestling shows on Christmas Day, which meant we were on the road at, early in the afternoon. We hit Dayton at 5 o'clock and then hit Toledo, which started at 8. And it was the biggest show of the year in both towns besides Thanksgiving. And so I usually started my day with family early. And that made a huge hit with all the relatives when I said, see ya, I got to go do the wrestling thing. You're doing what?
I'm going to help the Sheik.
Yep. And I'm glad I'm here. And I loved what I was doing. And I don't regret it. But, you know, hey, nothing beats a stale hot dog at the Hera Arena in Dayton on Christmas Day.
But if you went to Toledo, you could have gone to Tony Paco's and got sure. the famous hot dogs that Klinger always talked about.
Hungarian hot dogs, yeah.
Yeah. Ah, God, I'm going to regret this, Lauren, aren't I? Jeremy?
What? Like, my traditions are so bad?
Well,
we used to start our Christmas morning. I'll never forget. You wake up and all the gifts are under the tree. You're so happy, and Dad piles everybody in the car, and we would go little person bowling. And at the time, it was called midget bowling, but now it's called little person bowling. And we just had the best time throwing those little people around. My dad, especially, he was very good. We were pretty young then, so we were about the same size as them. So I don't know why it was called little person bowling. And then we'd go home and celebrate. And sometimes they would bring some of the little people back with us to work as elves handing out gifts.
And cleaning up, of course.
No, we always, we always had, my mom was very like traditional in the whole Christmas celebration stuff. So, you know, it was the same thing. We were super excited about finding out which toys we got and things like that. And I think my best year ever, I got He-Man Eternia, which I still have. So it was like a big, big castle, and it had a big tram that went around it. And it was pretty awesome. He-Man also enjoyed it.
Now, interesting thing about Jeremy, and this isn't a joke, folks. This is true.
And everyone is frozen.
Well, your camera's frozen, but you're not, because we can still hear you.
That's me.
But Jeremy, as a kid, in the Chicago area. But now he is a Florida resident, so now he's the Christmas dad raising kids in Florida with Christmas. And how big a difference is that, Jeremy? Ah, he's frozen. He'll be back in a moment, folks.
Start to say, I wonder if he can hear you.
You're not frozen where I'm at.
Yep. Wow, yeah. Everyone was frozen, so I think that was me.
It was. But yeah. I was saying that you grew up in the Chicago area as a child.
Yep.
And now, as a daddy who has to get the gifts from Santa to give to the kids, you are a Christmas father in Florida.
Yes. Yes.
And how big a cultural difference is that? Your traditional holidays as a child to now with
I'm the same as Tim. I miss the snow. You know, I miss that time of year. Like, we used to go out and play football in the snow all the time. And, you know, especially like Christmas Day, I remember, man, we'd be out ice skating, or, you know, we had a little pond behind our house. So we'd be out ice skating, or we used to build forts in front of our house. And my dad taught us how to freeze them so nobody could knock them down. And then we'd go throw snowballs at the girls' forts across the street and knock them all down. And I remember their dad got so mad one year. He came over with like a pickaxe and he couldn't take our fort down because ours was frozen solid.
Did you fortify your fort with little people?
Yes. And well, thank goodness for the little people. They really helped us build the tunnels. They were very good at tunneling.
Little people tunnel rats.
Yeah, I mean, they were very good at tunneling. I highly recommend, if you're building a tunnel, hire little people with big hands.
I know that it always rains in Wales, because we joke about it always raining in Wales, but do you get a lot of snow around the holidays in Welsh country?
No, not at all. No.
Never?
No. Well, now and again, but not in my lifetime. I don't remember it snowing on Christmas Day.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm going to tell these people here, and everybody listening, something that Lauren's probably going to get really mad at me for. But what a lot of people don't know is that, well, a lot of people know Lauren's very active in her church and does a lot of work with the community. Lauren is also fluent in Welsh and sings with the church.
Yeah, that's not happening tonight, though.
Couple Christmas shows ago, we actually had Lauren singing a carol in Welsh.
Yeah.
Well, it was very lovely. We still get mail about
it. Song. It was just Welsh. It wasn't carol.
That's back,
you know,
when
we still
get
email about that? We still to this day get email about that when you sang that song. People loved it. Lauren's like, I am not singing. So Lauren, number two, might sing a little bit.
She's not drunk enough either.
Please, Lauren, solidarity.
I don't think Lauren's number two knows Welsh.
Well, she could sing in English. I mean, we'll forgive her.
We'll see. We'll see if she comes back.
As the show goes on, she might. You know, speaking of songs, Did you guys all like, and anybody can join in on this one, did you like the holiday music growing up, like the traditional Christmas songs or the rock and roll Christmas songs? I mean, Terry, what about you? Are you a fan of, Christmas music?
I dearly loved them until I got into radio and played each of them probably 452 times.
You have a favorite?
Carol of the Bells.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Christmas is the Time to Say I Love You by Billy Squire, but you proved me wrong. Tim, what about you? I know you're a music lover, and you're probably a lover of some pretty strange and out there music like I am. Do you have a favorite Christmas carol?
Well, I'm like Terry. The first part of my career was in radio. And after playing practically every Christmas song over and over and over again, you come to loathe it. But, as a kid, I loved any and all Christmas music because that was part of that Christmas mystique that kids have, that magical time. I mean, now, as soon as Thanksgiving is over, you have radio stations that just they dedicate themselves to playing Christmas music, and you get sick of it. But as a kid, I just loved it. And for me, and it's been so long ago, it's hard for me to remember. I mean, I like the traditional ones, the traditional kid Christmas music, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Songs like that those were probably my favorite. And I should add also, and maybe this is something that you were going to ask later on the program, but I'll jump into it right now. When I was growing up, that was the time when all of the like Rankin Bass Christmas shows started up in the early 60s. Now I'm aging myself here a little bit, but you had like Rudolph and a Charlie Brown Christmas and the Grinch and all those wonderful Christmas shows. Now, of course, they've all been co-opted by Apple, and you can't watch them like you used to. But that was the music that I just love, though, those pop pop tunes and the like.
What about you, Lauren? Traditional Christmas music or pop Christmas music? What do you prefer?
I think both has its place. I like both.
Do you have a particular favorite?
I like Fairy Tale of New York. I know that's not very PC, but it's a very good song.
How does that go? Can you sing it?
No. I think we'd get sued if I sang it.
Yeah, we might get a copyright strike on that one. Or we'd get canceled, because that song is on the canceled list.
She could sing it in Welsh.
Yes, no one would know. Well, no one would know except Jeremy just blew it by saying she's singing it in Welsh.
I think people that already know Welsh would figure it out.
That's true. Okay, Jeremy, what about you? What traditional Christmas music, pop Christmas music?
I kind of like it all. Like my mom actually had a tradition of like when she was putting the tree up, it would be like a full day of, all the Christmas music and stuff like that. And then on Christmas Eve, when the whole family was over, Christmas music would be playing the whole time. And it's a nice tradition. But, I think Tim's right about that. When they start playing it, like some of the stations go 24 hours the day after Thanksgiving, and it's like it's too much.
Yeah. And your kids are young still.
Yeah, so I just went to my daughter's recital today, and it was the cutest little thing ever. So they sang like three or four songs, and I have no idea what they sang because she's five and you can't really understand it. But
she an angel? Yeah.
She was an angel. Yeah, she was an angel.
Cool.
Are they into that phase where they love the Christmas music 24/7 and they're happy to have it on all the time, or is she like, I want Taylor Swift?
They never. I don't think they ever request Christmas music. Like if Rudolph's on, we'll have fun singing it in the car or something. But yeah, thank goodness they're not like, Daddy, we want to hear it 24 hours a day. Can you put that station on?
But they still believe in Santa, right? Or do they?
My daughter does. My son just this year kind of figured it out. He's 10. And
figured what out?
That Santa sometimes has to send gifts through FedEx.
Disillusion Brian.
Yeah, I mean, you already explained he can't get everywhere in one night. Sometimes he's got to make early deliveries.
Well, it just made me sad that, he doesn't have that much magic. He can only get to, like, 3/4 of the world. So
he's getting older. All are.
But, we have some backup now. If we if the elves forget to change spots during the night, we have help with that.
Now, do you... I shouldn't even say this because it might be putting ideas into your head that shouldn't be there, but do you ever think about dressing up your little miniature horses as reindeer, putting like antlers on them for like kids to get their pictures taken with them? Jeremy has miniature horses. Like those.
I actually have mini cows.
Oh, mini cows. That's right.
We have one pony. My wife actually does photo shoots with the cows, and she did put them in antlers, and it was pretty darn cute. But these cows are only like... Grinch.
That poor dog.
Less than 3 feet tall, and they're like super hairy. They're Highland cows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a new one. I didn't know mini cows were a thing.
We did not either, but once we found them, we had to get them. Still trying to talk my wife into a kangaroo. They're
adorable.
Yeah, they're pretty cute.
Yeah, we'll send pictures. Oh, Jeremy's got a picture, I'm sure.
Well, talk amongst yourself.
And Jeremy's got quite the menagerie going because apparently he's got a kangaroo he's going to get.
I just talked to the lady. So one of the ladies we bought our first cow from, our first mini cow, has kangaroos. And I think I'm next on the list for a female kangaroo. But I got to get licensed.
You need a license for a kangaroo?
You do. And you have to have an 8-foot fence. And like a certain amount of area for each kangaroo. There's a lot of rules, which there should be.
Does your kangaroo get to get loose park or anything?
What's that?
Does your kangaroo get to go to the kangaroo park or anything, interact with all the others?
That'd be really fun to take a kangaroo to like a dog park or something. It'd be a blast.
Now, Terry. I cannot remember his name, but you probably knew the bear man.
Yeah, Dave.
For those who aren't familiar with the bear man, explain to the listeners and to Tim and to Jeremy and to Lauren what the bear man was.
Well, Dave was a guy who for at least 3 decades trained bears as attractions at like sports shows, and it used to be the thing, go to Autorama, see the wrestling bear, and Dave would wrestle around with a bear who knew some rudimentary takedowns and things like that, and then they gave him a Coke and a shot of insulin, and he was fine for the rest of his life. Dave had, one of the bears was, it's a Christmas show, so I shouldn't go into it, but one of the bears did injure a human, so that pretty much put him out of the business there for a while. But
did they do a documentary about him?
Drawing Heat is the name of a book, but I haven't seen anything on video.
I don't know if it's the same guy, but my buddy lived in Ohio, and he actually wrestled the bear when he was like 20-21 at a bar. Oh, same thing. And later on, he got interviewed for a documentary because, like, the bears ended up, like, seriously injuring people later on. And the guy went out of business.
Yeah.
What if it's the same one?
Now, Lauren, we know you're a bully and all, but would you wrestle a bear?
No, I wouldn't wrestle a bear. No.
And we're not talking, like, Winnie the Pooh. Like, you know, one of your little Brit bears. Look at Jeremy's cows.
Look at
those. I got to turn the background off or something.
There we are.
Yeah, I can't get it. So weird.
There we go. Yeah, I see.
Oh.
Wow.
My gosh.
Yeah, and they're super docile. They're just like dogs. Like when you come up they'll run right up to you and want to get scratched under the neck. It's pretty awesome.
They're like me. I do that to people.
Just like Brian. I feel like if I ever have Brian out to the farm, he can just hang out with them and it'll be like the same exact thing.
Yeah. See, I invite Jeremy to Buffalo. He gets Duff's wings. I go to Jeremy's. I sleep with the cows.
Sleep with the cows.
And you get neck scratches.
And neck scratches.
Which you look like you might need.
Yeah, I do, actually. I need a Grecian formula is what I need.
I think if you produced a pillow with my face on it, I'd make you sleep with the cows, too.
Yeah, definitely can't have you in the house.
Okay, it's one pillow, folks, okay? One snuggle pillow. Just because it has Jeremy's face on it, I didn't know it was on there when I ordered it. It was just a happy coincidence.
Imagine that.
But back to wrestling bears, Lauren.
I said no, I wouldn't wrestle a bear. I wouldn't.
Why not? That. Would you box it?
No, no. Dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Ladies and gentlemen, joining the show. Oh, I got to get the sleigh bells because we got a new guest. Oh, I lost the sleigh bells, but we'll pretend they're sleigh bells. First time author and a new friend of the show, the author of Revelations of the Raven Master, a collection of short horror stories, which Ooh. I personally think should be turned into a movie because some of these would make a great anthology. And if it's an anthology movie, you know who would be a great Raven Master? Jeremy King. Look at that, Casey. Welcome to the show.
I do love ravens.
Say hi to Tim Schwartz, paranormal researcher extraordinaire. Terry Sullivan, the voice and face of Detroit wrestling. Lauren, you know, our dear, lovely Lauren, my ugly mug, and the one and only Rad Chad himself, Jeremy King. How are you, Casey?
Yeah. Happy holidays, everybody.
She's so nervous. She's so embarrassed to talk because she loves Jeremy. She's a huge. I met Casey, believe it or not, on a Twitter post going back and forth about Jeremy's movie Scare Package.
Pretty amazing.
She's a Scare Package follower and then found out she was an author. And look, there he is. So I'm bringing her face to face with Rad Chad.
Take a screen at her. Side by side on my screen. So.
Yes. I'm sorry. Well,
look,
my internet keep freezing.
So we'll bring you up to speed, Casey. We've been talking about, just holiday traditions when we grew up and what we remember and what our fond memories are. What were some of your growing up holiday tradition memories that you fondly remember? Even though you're still a baby, you're a kid. Yeah, she's still in school, folks. College. We're not talking high school. But what about your holiday memories?
I used to go to my grandma's house until she moved down to Florida. But we all used to go to my grandma's house and we hit a pickle in the tree, which is a fake German tradition. And then if you found it, you got an extra gift. And then everyone had to sit on my grandpa's lap to get their gift, like he was Santa. And we have also recently started a white elephant. That's for Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day, my mom alternates between my grandma's house and my aunt and uncle's house. Also, we make gingerbread cookies every year.
Hmm. That's nice. That's a tradition.
It is, yeah.
We got to get to the bottom of this pickle. Is it a dill pickle? Is it a sweet pickle?
Would you like me to grab it from my tree?
You have the pickle there?
I do. I'll grab it.
You are in possession of the pickle. Go get the pickle.
There you go.
This is
how long do you leave the pickle in the tree?
You know, I remember seeing in like the Johnson Smith catalog. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that, but they used to sell an ornament that was a pickle. and they referred to that. Oh, there she has it.
There's
she
the pickle. Is that a real pickle?
Yeah, it gets smaller when you're older. And like, the old adults have a pickle this big to find, and the kids have one like this big to find.
Have you been talking to Sarah? Sorry.
Your fake girlfriend?
Yeah. The one that Jeremy claims doesn't exist.
She's come around like twice, but only for like 3 minutes. I think he just pays his neighbor to come over and be like, yes, I'm his girlfriend.
Nothing creepy about Brian Snuggle Pillow. He has a girlfriend.
Don't worry about him. Let him in your house. He's fine.
Now, no, is that like a real pickle or a fake pickle or?
No, it's plastic.
Oh, it looks pretty damn real.
It does look
real. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Oh, it's an ornament.
Yes.
What is behind the pickle tradition?
Apparently it's German, but from my understanding, someone just said it was German once, and the Germans were really confused, and then they went, well, I guess we can make money off of it, so they started selling them.
Because wouldn't it be a schnitzel or something if it was German?
Like all good traditions. No.
A gherkin. It's German.
Gherkin?
All right. Now I'm German. Terry, here comes Terry making me look like an idiot. Yep. Gherkins are German. Okay. I'm Irish. Put the potato in the tree.
Small cow.
So, yeah. Now, I've never heard of the pickle thing. Lauren, did you ever hear of the pickle thing? I mean, you're closer to Germany than we are.
Yeah, and it's pretty much as Casey described it. It's just there seems to be a whole lot of confusion where it came from. Somebody just made it up one day, and now they make lots of money from it.
It's like Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I hate them so much.
That's a good thing to bring up now, because they didn't have Elf on the Shelf when I was a kid.
Nope.
Tim, Terry, Jeremy, when you were a kid, did they have it?
Nope.
No, that's definitely a new thing that somebody just made up, wrote a book about it, and now they're probably making trillions of dollars.
Because, Lauren, is that made it over to the UK?
Yeah, Elf on the Shelf. Corey and Theo don't do it, but it's annoying as anything to see. Because there are generic elves you can buy in any shop, and then they're the proper Elf on the Shelf ones, which are like a million, like so expensive, and you buy them with a book, and you've got to read the book, and then Elf has got to do something new every day, and it seems like it's there to torture parents.
I like the parodies that people keep putting out. Like something on a something that rhymes. Like
yes.
the picture of the sperm with a curly wig on, the perm on a sperm. Or my favorite one, which had Leonard Nimoy riding a chicken.
Oh my God, that little guy.
Oh. Oh.
It's true.
No.
I did see Dracula on a Spatula today. That was a new one on me.
Which one?
Dracula on a Spatula.
That's
awesome. Oh, now, that one I would buy. I would do that.
I have a friend that has Snoop on a stoop. Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg. I like that one. I'd buy that one too.
That one's pretty awesome.
Oh, I think Sarah's here, Jeremy. Hey, Sarah.
You guys ready for this? His girlfriend? She just got home from work. She just came in for next door. Yeah.
She did. She's
about
she
to earn herself a cool $50.
You do all realize the reason the Jeremy Snuggle Pillow exists is because of Sarah. Screaming, ask Lauren. Lauren's a witness, aren't you?
I don't remember Sarah being involved in that. I just remember you getting it and then me thinking it was a joke and then you pulled it out in front of Jeremy and it was the most terrifying thing.
Oh, there's his neighbor. Hi. How's it going next door?
Oh, yes. Very good.
Now that you're responsible for the Brad Chance snowball
pillow. I may have come up with the idea.
I froze when she was talking.
All right.
That's so cool that she comes over and does that for you, Brian.
Pay up now.
Checks in the mail.
That's right.
I can tell your apartment has that woman's touch. I can see it from the stuff behind you.
What's that?
I said I can see from all the posters and pictures behind you that your apartment has that woman's touch.
It does. Well, this side is all the musical instruments. Yeah. Amps and mess, and there's the cat. But yeah, it definitely has a woman's touch, doesn't it?
So, the apartment across from you probably does.
I got to get back to this Elf on a Shelf thing. Apparently, Jeremy does Elf on a Shelf.
I do.
Are you?
He does it willingly. I think he's coerced into it.
Yes, it wasn't my idea, but I have joined in the, and now each of the kids does one. So that's a thing now.
Who is responsible for the elf? Is it you or the wife?
That would be my wife.
Oh, you are not in charge of the elf.
Oh, I mean, I am in charge most nights because she goes to bed early and forgets. But, yeah. It's fun sometimes, though.
So, as you all know, I hang out at a cigar shop, and that's the majority of my social life is going to my cigar shop.
With his girlfriend.
No, she doesn't go to the cigar shop. Can't afford that much overtime. But there was a guy in there the other night, and for those of you who are cigar smokers, you know that you cut the ends of the tips of the cigar before you smoke them. And this guy was going through the ashtrays, picking up the little cut ends of the cigar butts. And we asked him, if I kind of mush them, they look like elf turds. So I leave them in different places, like that's where the elf went to the bathroom for the kids.
There's a new one now where you have them bending over and there's a Hershey kiss below them. And they say they left the kid the treat.
He's leaving the kid cigar bits. But I'm not the kids
didn't even think twice because she ate it.
I would not encourage kids to eat shit. So I think using a little bit of cigar is better than the Hershey kiss.
I think Lauren's number two OnlyFans would disagree with you. It's where she makes most of her money is mailing out turds.
She's not even going to dignify a comment with that one.
Nor can she. I can look it up online right now.
Lauren? There's something you're not telling us.
I don't know. She's a Lauren to herself, that second Lauren. Who knows?
Wow. Elf on the Shelf. So, Jeremy, your daughter's 5, your son's 10. Who is easier to shop for, a 10-year-old boy or a 5-year-old girl?
He was super easy to shop for because all he wanted was a VR. And so, like, with her, she loves to play with a ton of different stuff. So she's definitely getting more, but he's getting the more expensive gift. They're both pretty easy.
Like a VR for a 10-year-old?
Yeah.
So is the 10-year-old going to accept the fact that even though it's more expensive, it's just one, while his sister has 7?
We've had that discussion, and we're trying to like get some smaller stuff to like have more to open. So yes, we've but no matter what, he's like a Sour Patch Kid. Like No matter what, he's going to complain about something. So.
Does he complain about the mini cows?
No, but he doesn't help much with them either. So.
Not a fan of the cows?
He is a fan of the cows, but he doesn't like to do anything to help.
Does he like the elf?
Yeah. He's been really good about helping out with the elf stuff this year, which is cool.
So, I saw on Jeremy's social media, not that I follow Jeremy on social media, there's no stalking going on.
Not that he has alerts.
No.
But the phone that's attached to his pillow. Make it vibrate.
I saw a thing you were at your kid's school for parent day.
Yes.
For whatever, like, you know. And you actually had on display posters for some of your films, including Scare Package. Now, do these 10-year-olds watch Scare Package?
They do not. They were all like, what's this? I'm like, a movie you can't probably watch, so don't ask your parents. But they liked the Pirates of the Caribbean stuff. I had a bunch of pictures on my computer from, you know, my time doing that. So they really enjoyed that. And then I had some stunt driving stuff that I had done, and like the older boys, you know, really liked that stuff. So it was cool. It was a lot of fun.
Wait, so you did stunt driving?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that wasn't you just peeling away to get away from me? You're actually trained to do that?
I am an actual trained stunt driver.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you do your own driving in Scare Package?
I did. And both the cars we used were like really old with really bad brakes. So when you'd have to reverse like a couple hundred feet to reset instead of having to turn around and stuff. And I didn't run anybody over. So
that was a pretty sweet looking car at the beginning of Scare Package, though.
Yeah, Scare Package 1, that car was pretty sweet. Yeah, yeah, it was like a big hoopty convertible. And that was fun, too, because in that one, I get to peel away and kick dust and dirt all over the kid standing there, and I got to really do that. So and that thing had a V8, so I was able to kick a good amount of dirt on
him. Ooh. Did you ask to buy the car afterwards?
12 takes of it, but I sure did.
Did you ask to buy the car afterwards?
I did not.
So you should have.
Maybe.
Be at all the conventions, Rad Chad and his Rad Chad mobile.
They were trying to get the same car for the end of Scare Package 2, and they couldn't. So they had to get like a, I think that was it yellow? It was like a, you know, it was a four seater, and it was a convertible again, but it was not anywhere close to what.
No, it was a much newer model.
Right. So, a little bit of history trivia.
Tim has got to see Scare Package. Tim is a horror movie fan and has actually produced a couple horror films.
Nice. Mm.
Yeah, not friendly for family viewing, though.
I just... Now, your kids, have they seen Scare Package?
So, I didn't even realize it one day. And I'm showing, like, my son had watched it before when he was, like, 7 or 8. And we were watching it again. I didn't even realize my daughter was in the room. And it was the part where I get my face punched through. And she's like, Daddy, you died? And I'm like, no. And, like, she was, like, crying. And I'm like, no, I didn't die. Obviously, it was a movie. I'm right here. And, like, she was freaking out. But, yeah, she was, like, 4 or so, or 3. Mm. I can see why.
Yeah.
Did you tell her that every film Uncle Aaron makes, he kills Daddy?
I have since explained that. Yeah. Yeah.
I think
I haven't told her about the scary man with the pillow yet, though. I don't think I'm going to be ready to tell her that until she's older.
That's one nightmare too far.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. She can deal with Daddy dying on screen, but the scary man with the pillow is the stuff of nightmares.
You are killed in every single one of Aaron's films, aren't you?
Yeah, I think it's a subconscious thing with him.
But I mean, every film he's made, not just everyone you like, you've been in all of his films, haven't you? And died in every one.
Yeah.
You were killed in Pale Door. You were killed in Camera Obscura. You were killed in Scare Package. You were killed in El Chupacabra, which is, for some reason, that is taken offline and it needs to come back on because that is one of the funniest short films ever made.
It's not. I didn't know it wasn't online anymore. That makes me sad.
Yeah, I couldn't find it unless.
I remember him saying something about he was embarrassed about it. I go, dude, why? Like, that was our first thing that we ever did. And, you know, he's like, oh, this was wrong with it and this was wrong with it. I'm like, dude, like.
Well, first off, the outtakes alone are worth it.
Oh, that was a blast. That was a blast.
So let me set this up, guys. And gals, sorry, no offense. There's a scene in this film.
She's like.
There's a scene in this film where Jeremy is buying a dog. And they're there, and his kid in the movie is sitting behind him. And he pretty much just insults the kid to the guy he's buying the dog from, like he's a loser, he has no friends type of thing. Which you think is what a horrible line for someone to write. Until you watch the end credits and you see Jeremy do take after take after take of him improvising all these horrible insults to this kid who's sitting like 3 feet behind him.
That was my favorite part of filming.
Oh, hilarious.
Wow. And now you guys can't see it, apparently.
We'll find it. El Chupacabra. Search for it, folks. It's a classic.
Yeah, I want to see that one now.
Lauren.
Yes.
What holiday traditional question should we ask now? What do you want to go with?
I don't know. I think we've already touched on it a bit, but I don't think we have asked it. What was your favorite Christmas gift?
Oh, Terry, we'll start with you because we're going in order.
I got a lot longer time to think back over. Somebody else here, get back with me.
All right, then we'll go reverse order. Tim, you're up first.
Oh my gosh. Well, God, I had so many things that I loved. You remember The Man from U.N.C.L.E., the television show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they. I got this like Man from U.N.C.L.E. set that it was and stuff that you'd never be able to buy. You know, they wouldn't sell things like this to kids now. But it was like, what was it? One of them was a camera that turned into a pistol. You know, you would push the button and it would turn into a pistol. And another one was a knife. Was it a knife? I can't remember now, but it was another some kind of, you know, like spy gadget that would turn into something.
Gosh, a knife that turned into a honeypot.
Yeah, something like that, you know. a knife with a smaller knife inside or something. But, you know, it came with its own like a Man from U.N.C.L.E. badge that you could, you know, wear. And that was probably one of my favorite earliest. And then there was the Creepy Crawlers. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if anybody remembers Creepy Crawlers.
I had Creepy Crawlers on the wall.
Yep. Yes. They and then, you know, every year they would come up with new molds and a new plastic, you know, the goop that would make the molds. And they came up with like glow in the dark plastic. So then you could make the insects or vampire fangs that glowed in the dark. You know, that was one that thing. Lasted me for a number of years. And again, that's something that they wouldn't sell nowadays because I guess they figure that kids are dumb now and would like stick their face into the heating element and, you know, burn their skin off. But yeah, that was probably you know, when it comes to crash commercialism toys for Christmas, those are probably my favorites.
I was a dumb kid and I never stuffed my face into that thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it was an open heating element, and you would they had like metal molds that had like you know, insects and skeletons and things like that, and you would pour this like a liquid plastic into the molds, and then you would place it inside this open heating element and it would solidify. So I mean, I imagine that there were probably a lot of kids that would like stick their hands directly onto the things and be, you know, forever you know, like maybe have like a mold of these creepy crawlers burnt into their hands for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, like the guy in Indiana Jones.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Casey, what about you? Other than creepy crawlers, what was your favorite Christmas gift? Other than the
pickle? I have a favorite material gift, and then I have like a sentimental one. And I actually got this yesterday. My friend sent it to me. It's the coolest thing ever. It is. I don't know if you can see it. It's the ink. From the first comic outside of Vertigo that Sandman was in.
Ooh.
And then the coloring of it.
Wow.
That was pretty cool. That my friend got. It's the only one in the world, actually. And it's.
Wow.
I was that freaking awesome. Out yesterday.
It's very cool.
But my favorite sentimental gift was I mentioned that my grandma lives in Florida, and we used to have Christmas at her house. And the first Christmas that I had without her, I was very sad that she was down in Florida. And then my aunt texts me the 23rd. She's like, can you help me wrap these gifts for these kids? And I was like, okay, I can help you wrap these gifts. And I go over and my grandma was in the living room.
Aww.
And I was a mess. That's probably my favorite.
See, that is sweet.
That is.
And I was going to go with something nasty and be goofy and funny, but that's too sweet. Now, see, I look like an asshole again. So speaking of me being an asshole, we're going to go with Lauren, because Lauren's a bully and she puts me in my place all the time. Lauren, what was your favorite gift?
I think my favorite gift was the first ever Star Trek autograph I got, because it was I'm on the autism spectrum. So when I was growing up, like, Data was like one of my favorite Star Trek characters. And that was my first ever autograph. And that meant a lot to me, because it's very difficult to know how to feel.
Well, you knew how to feel because it made, look how happy it made you. I think you're saying Data's on the spectrum, though. And Brent Spiner might have something to say about that.
Well, he doesn't. Well, I think it was one of those characters where they don't fit in and they don't know how to fit in. And that's always the way that I felt, is that I didn't know how to fit in.
But you do fit in, Lauren. See, we all love you. You have to talk nice to her. She bullies you.
Oh, thanks, Casey.
Jeremy? We know that you did get the He-Man castle, Castle Grayskull.
Eternia.
That was the bigger one.
That was the big one. Gosh, yeah.
Don't say that. That's Skeletor's castle. You don't get them mixed up. That's like really rotten of you, Brian, to get them mixed up.
See what I mean?
Castle Grayskull was actually He-Man, Lauren. Snake Mountain was Skeletor.
Wow. Okay. So now that we've gone full on nerd, Jeremy, what's another gift? A favorite gift?
It was funny when everybody was talking. I was thinking about my two most disappointing Christmases, and one was when we were really young, and that when Star Wars was really big. We used to always get the Star Wars stuff, and my brother got an X-wing fighter, and my other brother got a TIE fighter. And I got the troop transporter. It was a big blimp. That's all it was. It was a big blimp. And it fit like 30 characters inside. and we'd go to play, and I'd be like, shh, I caught up to you. And I'm like, and they're like, no, yours is slow. You go back there. Like, you can't catch up to us. So, all the battles. I'm like, and then I drop this guy off.
I brought in the other troops.
Yeah, you know, I'd be like flying with them, and they'd be like, no, 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 yours is slow, so you got to go back there. I'm like,
See, but you could have told them yours was the party bus, and that's where all the action was.
I mean, later on, I guess I would appreciate that toy, I guess. and then one year, my parents were between getting me like a stand-up, like two-wheel scooter and a Tony Hawk skateboard. And I think I picked a scooter for some reason. And my brother got grounded like 2 days before Christmas. And we woke up early, and there was a Tony Hawk skateboard under the tree and a scooter, but only one scooter. So I knew that was for my brother. And the skateboard didn't have anything on it, so I thought I got the Tony Hawk skateboard, and I was super excited. And then we woke up, we're opening gifts, and it turns out the other scooter wasn't available yet, and it was still being shipped. So I didn't get anything under the tree. And my brother, who was grounded, who should not have gotten that, got the Tony Hawk skateboard. So
you're still bitter about the TIE Fighter, aren't you?
I'm really bitter. Yeah. You don't know how many times
when you were telling that story, there was actual anger there.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, you can't catch up to us. You can't do that. You can't turn that fast. So I just floated along. I used to go above football games and record the football games for the teams and stuff. So I made money doing that in Fantasyland. That's about it. I forgot to attack anyone.
So. Is it you that transports the players in Fortnite to the Battle Island then?
Yes. Yeah. You know, that's probably why I get sad every time I play Fortnite with my son and we're on the battle bus and I start tearing up. And he's like, what's wrong, Dad? I'm like, no one appreciates the bus driver.
You can. I think if I remember properly from when I used to play it in COVID with Corey and Theo, you can thank the bus driver.
You can. It's the down button on the PS5. Yeah. I learned that.
You know how to do this.
Well, yeah, you get like extra points for thanking the bus driver five times.
You would I had to ask my son, the bus driver, didn't you?
Well, it's funny because I asked my son, I'm like, how do you thank the bus driver? He's like, I'm not telling you. And I had to look it up. That's my life.
And then you're like, well, then no V-Bucks for you then.
Yeah. I'm the master of the V-Bucks, kid. You got to do what I say.
V-Bucks is a being buyer of the V-Bucks is an awesome power to have. Things happen.
It's amazing.
Terry, we're back.
Yes. Well, you know, thinking back, I was a really fortunate kid, come to think about it. But the most memorable was the first time I got a big boy bike. And it was under the Christmas tree, a bright red Schwinn. And I was something, but it had the training wheels too.
So. It was your first bike. You hated the training wheels.
It was the first big boy bike. Yeah. But yes, you're right.
See, it's always people remember the Schwinn to this day. They remember those big gifts. I'm trying to remember of like my favorite Christmas gift ever. I mean, every kid loved the socks and underwear. I mean, that was always a great package, wasn't it?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Never appreciated that when I was younger. Now the price of socks has gone up so dramatically. I'm like, man, I really miss when mommy used to buy me socks and underwear.
You had to behave like you were grateful.
Another t-shirt.
I found the pickle. Give me more underwear.
They didn't know which kid was going to win, so it was like ladies' underwear. It was like thongs. Brian took them anyway.
Wearing them now.
You're welcome.
Casey?
One year, my brother and I were like 10, and we went to go down by the tree. And it was 5 in the morning. No one else was up. and we were like feeling the presents to see if we could figure out what we got. And he got a book. He was really mad because he doesn't like reading, but I liked reading. He was like, "You should take this one. Just peel the sticker off and you could say that it's yours." I was like, "That's not nice to Santa."
Aww. You swapped gifts without anybody knowing. Did you do it?
Also, I felt bad for Santa. But
trade up
something my brother did do was, yes, I think I did end up actually getting it, but anyway, Christmas stocking hangers. And my brother would always switch them to say Satan instead of Santa. And one year it made it on the Christmas card. Oh, God.
Nice.
So, I think I know what my favorite Christmas gift ever was. See, this one year I got this wonderful pillow. And ironically, it looks remarkably like Brad Chad on the pillow.
Strange that that happened.
It does. I don't understand. I can't explain it, but
he got it from his girlfriend.
That's right.
He's like, my girlfriend bought it over from her. I mean, bought it for me.
Santa FedExed it over. It's okay.
Terry's story did remind me. I did get a Schwinn one year, and my one brother's favorite color was red. My other brother's favorite color was blue, and then I got the choice between green and yellow because red and blue were already taken. But that year we got really sweet BMX Schwinns, and my brother's was red with red mag, like the mag wheels. My brother's was blue, and mine was like yellow, and it was pretty. And they even had yellow tires, red tires.
Oh.
That was back when, like, they made bikes super cool.
That's like when, like, BMX was, like, the tough guy thing, too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't they make, like, a movie about, like, BMX guys, like, being all badass?
Was that Rad? I think it was called Rad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think I watched that recently, and it was awesome. It was awesome.
Don't you love it when you find a movie like that you haven't seen in forever and it's even better than you remember it being?
Yeah, I didn't know the background. I think it was about a kid that couldn't like afford a BMX bike, but he somehow got into this contest. But the other kids were like knocking him off his bike during races. And at the end, he does like the big BMX jump and he wins the race.
So it's the Karate Kid with BMX.
And I froze again, didn't I?
Yeah, so it's like the Karate Kid with BMX bikes.
Yeah. I actually have the Karate Kid motorcycle right now.
The actual one?
What's going on with this anyway?
You have the Karate Kid motorcycle.
Yeah, the Honda 650, the white one.
Mm-hmm.
Just got it for myself like 2 months ago.
Wow.
So that's a Christmas gift awesome. For yourself.
That is. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's what my wife always complains that whatever I want, I always get myself. So she doesn't know what to get me for Christmas. But I think Christmas Day, I'm going to wear the Cobra Kai outfit and put a bandana on and just go riding around beating up little kids. That'll be my new Christmas tradition.
And that one you will pass on to your son, who will pass on to his son.
And I'll steal their BMX bikes.
There you go.
And smash their radio. Didn't he break the radio on the beach, too?
Yep.
And if he's
got you have beaches.
X-Wings, he will also take them as well.
Anything but transport ships I'm going to take.
I'm still a little heartbroken over the transport ship thing because I remember when I was a little kid, you know, I have one brother who's 4 years older and one brother that's 18 months younger than me. So there was that weird age where we were getting all very similar stuff for Christmas and we would get like matchbox cars or, you know, things like that. And they would always get like the sports cars and the really cool things, and I'd get the fire truck or the ambulance. Like, parents were like, yeah, you can't have the cool shit. You're the middle kid. So you get the emergency vehicles that are going to go, you know, help your brothers when they break down or whatever. I had the tow truck.
Did you at least get to pick your favorite color second?
No. No.
You guys didn't get favorite colors? Yeah. That was a thing in our house.
No, I was the middle kid. I was like basically, you know, you're the afterthought.
What nobody else wanted, you got.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. We got to get him.
Isn't the last one the afterthought?
Crying now.
You're going to have to write just another to really your mother after that. Special.
That's true. I am. Although, no, my mother is not going to make me write an apology. Although she might, because the last time or the second last time Jeremy was on, he did make reference that he was living with my mother. Because nothing is funnier than banging your mama jokes.
Those are my favorite jokes. And I used to be really bad when I was younger. And one of my best friends, like his mother had passed. And still for like 5 or 10 years, like I would still slip and be like, well, your mom. And he's like, and then I'd feel really bad.
But you still did it, so you didn't feel too bad.
I did, but it's like that, you know, that habit that you just have. It's like your go-to funny thing. It was like when I was living with your mom. I used to tell her this one joke all the time. Here it is. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
It's me. Let me in.
It's me. Let me in who?
No, that was it.
You it was your mom's mother. Door. Yeah. No.
She always loved
although
you.
I do have to, and this is true, Lauren, I'm not going to have to read an apology for this. After that episode aired, and I had called my mother that day, and she answered the phone by saying, shh, you're going to wake up Jeremy.
So, your mom sounds pretty awesome.
She does. So there's that. So
why I broke up with her.
I think you're gonna have to tell the story, wasn't it? Didn't she make posters for like the rec room of the flats that she lives in?
Yeah, you know, see, my mother's she's. How do I put this? She's advanced in years. Yes. She is a bit of one. And now that she's, you know, slightly older, now that she's in her 40s, she, you know, she lives in an apartment complex that's all for seniors. And let's just say she doesn't like them. She refers to them as the bats, the fucking bats. They're out in the hallway again. That's all I hear is those fucking bats. She had a doormat because there's the front door and then the back door of the apartment leads into a hallway where all the apartments are connected. And she actually put a doormat that's in front of her
from the parking lot. I remember that. Yep.
Yep, yep, you know the one. And she had a doormat that said something along the like, go away, you have no business here, was on the doormat. And there's like a community room in there, and they would like put all these like posters up for like, we're going to have pinochle night. And she would go in there and just like put up like fake posters like, you know, nude hot tubbing night and, you know, just shit like that. She's a wonderful woman.
She
did make me read an apology on air one time when I claimed she watched the show about people that stuff shit up their shit. Or as I like to call it, I stuck a woo yang in my hoo-hoo or whatever it was called. Did you see that show? It was on like the Discovery Channel with people who had to go to the emergency room because they had inserted things into them they couldn't get out. I made the mistake of saying that she watched the show. Well, now I just did it again. Oops. But she actually wrote up a formal apology that she made me read on the air. But she is watching a new show there's a new show she has discovered and she's watching. And I don't know if you've all heard of this. I know Lauren has because we've talked about it, but it's called Doctor Down Under, and it ain't Australia. This is a new holiday tradition, I think.
Yeah, obviously.
But she's watching Doctor Down Under, and she watched another one, what, the 800-pound sisters or whatever it was. Remember that show?
1,000-pound sisters.
1,000-pound, yeah.
Yeah, 1,000-pound. See, you guys know. I didn't watch
that. That was the sequel.
Yeah. Started out 500-pound sisters.
She has this weird addiction. I'm going to get in so much trouble for this, Lauren. Lauren, why do you put... See, Lauren, you are such a bully. You send me down this path that's going to get me in trouble.
And me.
She has this horrible addiction where she'll, like, TiVo, like, every fucking Hallmark movie. And she'll have, like, 200 Hallmark movies on back order that she's got to watch. And then she'll call me. She's like, I watched 12 more today. They all have the same fucking plot. I don't even know why I'm watching. It's all the same movie. But I think she's looking for Jeremy.
She'll be able to see me soon. I heard they just made a deal.
And is it going to be on the Hallmark Channel?
It is going to be on the Hallmark Channel, yes. I think they were talking to Netflix for a little while, but that fell through. So,
I want to go. Does Lifetime streaming carry Sinister Seduction?
It does. Yeah, we signed up for it just to watch it.
Because if y'all don't know, there is a movie called Sinister Seduction.
Where I am neither sinister nor do I seduce.
Not on that show. But if you pull up the trailer, the very first thing you see in the trailer is Jeremy.
Well, they want to sell the movie, don't they?
Yeah. I think you play a cop, right?
I'm a very poor detective.
You're the detective who's going to solve the sinister
scene. And I think that's why this director never calls me back. I've known other people that have worked for him, and they've worked on like 3 or 4 movies with him now. It was like every time we had any downtime, I would totally forget I had my microphone on, and I'd be talking to her name slipped my mind right now. She was in the new I'd be talking to her and I'd be like, I'm the worst detective ever. Like, I can't figure this out. I'm not putting the pieces together yet. And I'm like, that's probably why they don't call me back.
Well, you have a habit of pissing off directors on set. I have heard from the horse's mouth that Jeremy really likes to press the buttons of directors while they're working, especially when they're under stress.
Well, see, here's what it is with Aaron. It's that I like the improv, and sometimes we don't have time for that. And I make time for it. Or he'll have like a certain line that he doesn't like because he thinks it's gone too far. And I'd be like, well, just take that line out this time. We'll do it again, and I'll still say it. Cause... And then he wins anyway because he's the editor, so he can just cut out the line. So
it's not just on that set, though. I have heard stories about drives onto the set.
That's the same director, though. You can't.
Yeah.
So Aaron, I didn't realize how much pressure he was under when we were doing Scare Package, and he used to pick me and this other guy up to go to set, and we would just be singing songs the whole time, and like it was like a scene from the new Barbie movie, and we just had the most fun, but we didn't realize like he was trying to like put his day together and like think about what he had to do. So yeah, he didn't enjoy that very much.
Because I did talk to Chris McEnroy, who right after he had worked with you, and he had nothing but positive things to say about you.
So maybe it's Aaron.
Except that they were on a really tight budget and on a really tight schedule, and you ruined several takes by making everybody laugh.
Well, if that's the worst thing you do on set in a horror comedy, then I think you're doing it.
If that's the worst thing he could say, he said you would improvise things and people would laugh so loud the whole crew would be laughing and we'd have to do the whole thing over.
So you know you're doing something right, man.
That was That was the short film of the award-winning short film Guts. Did end Oscar up winning. It did win a couple awards.
It was an Oscar the Grouch.
Speaking of Oscar the Grouch, Jeremy, do you remember last year when I told everybody they had to go watch Christmas Eve on Sesame Street, the nastiest Christmas special ever made?
Yes.
Did you ever watch it?
I did not.
Because Oscar says motherfucker. Clear the bell.
Come everybody on. Knows.
He does. Clear as a bell. Oscar says motherfucker. I mean.
All right, for this Christmas special, you have to tell everyone to watch it, and then we'll come back a year later and see how many out of the five have watched it. Has Lauren watched it?
Lauren?
Lauren, are you awake?
Yes, I have watched it. Yeah, he does say he does.
See? Lauren says,
it's also very traumatic. It is very traumatic. Poor old Big Bird.
Have anybody else here ever seen that special?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to look for it now.
It is a 1970. It's the original Christmas Eve on Sesame Street. I believe it's 1974, maybe 77. One of those two. And it is available on YouTube. You can all watch it. It is the sweetest, kindest, happiest Christmas special, but at the same time, the nastiest and most vicious. For instance, Big Bird almost dies. As Lauren says, he's almost murdered, technically. Oscar the Grouch sings a song called, and I quote, "I Hate Christmas." And Oscar says, "Motherfucker." He starts yelling at Big Bird and says, "You are without a doubt the dumbest muh." And as he says muh, a subway car goes by, and you see him mouthing all these like nasty words and everyone looking shocked. Oscar says, "Motherfucker." That's going to be everyone's homework assignment for this year and next. Everyone should watch Christmas Eve on Sesame Street. Greatest Christmas special ever made.
What was it called?
Christmas Eve on Sesame Street. Someone just sent me
a message. I'm going to look it up. Okay. I'm going to watch it tonight, when I get out of here.
Yep.
Should I watch it with my kids?
It's fine for kids. I mean, Oscar almost kills Big Bird, but it's also very family friendly. I watched it when I was a little kid, and I turned out fine.
Maybe you don't let your kids watch it.
Jeremy, you let your 3-year-old daughter watch you get murdered on cam on screen.
I didn't know she was there.
Father of the year.
She still has bad dreams about it.
And his daughter's like the cutest little thing in the world. She looks like Cindy Lou Who, just from the Grinch.
She really does, like her. Yeah.
And there's Jeremy.
She really is going,
watch Daddy's face ever. Get punched in.
Yeah. I'm not always a great parent, but when I am, now that my kids watch Scare Package.
Sort of like how you're going to buy your son that that troop transport this year for Christmas. Really,
I'll get myself the X-Wing fighter. I'm like, you can't catch me. You're stupid. You're slow.
I got to ask this because now that we know pretty soon mom's going to be TiVo and Jeremy, Christmas movies. I'm going to start with the basic question because everyone argues this all the time. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Tim, Die Hard, yes or no? Christmas movie?
No.
All right, Casey, yes or no?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes, but you can watch it whenever you like.
Terry?
No.
Oh, God, it's 2-2. Jeremy, you're breaking the tie.
I'm going to have to go with yes on this one, people.
All right. Now, they say for something to be a Christmas movie, it has to have Christmas in the plot. If not for Christmas, the story couldn't progress. So people say, that's why Die Hard's not. And I'm like, no, that's why Die Hard is. Because he's only there because he's accidentally invited to the company Christmas party.
By that logic, then Home Alone isn't a Christmas movie. They don't say Christmas once in the movie, but it happens at Christmas time.
It does because they're going away to visit family for Christmas, so it counts. But it sucks anyway.
No, I mean your logic is right. I'm saying that if they don't say Christmas is not a Christmas movie, logic is wrong because then Home Alone wouldn't count.
I don't have a dog in the fight, except that Die Hard's a Christmas movie. But what is your favorite Christmas movie? And we'll start with Lauren. Favorite Christmas movie, not special movie.
I think for me, it would have to be The Muppets Christmas Carol. Because it's just the best.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Caine plays it so seriously. You know, he'd think he'd join in and, you know, like Tim Curry is a bit, you know, more jovial than normal in Treasure Island. And then you've got Michael Caine that's playing it straight and properly. Like he's in some sort of stage version of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol and not surrounded by puppets. It's just brilliant.
Terry, favorite Christmas movie?
White Christmas. Bing Crosby.
That's a classic. It's a good one. Jeremy?
I'm going to have to go with Elf with Will Ferrell and Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, Scrooge. Oh, that's a lot of people. You know, I've heard a lot of people bash Scrooge, and I think it's fantastic. Everything about Scrooge was great.
Huge Bill Murray fan.
I'm a big fan of everybody in that movie, actually. Everybody in it was great. I mean, who doesn't love Carol Kane, who was hilarious in that movie? David Johansson's hilarious in that film. Everybody. Bob Goldthwait was great. Fun movie. Michael J. Pollard, one of his last movies. He was fantastic in that film. But anyway, Casey, we'll go on to you. Yep. Casey.
You cut out a little bit. I didn't see who you said. So I have two. The first real one is Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas, since Lauren already stole the Muppets Christmas Carol. And one is Black Christmas, the original.
The original, the Bob Clark film.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Keir Dulley and Margot Kidder, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great, great film. Tim, I'm a little nervous because I know your taste in movies is like mine.
This movie. I'm gonna stick with Bob Clark here and go with A Christmas Story. Mm. Yeah. And one of the reasons is that I got to work for a couple of days with the author, Gene Shepard. And so that always makes that movie just a little bit more special since I got to know the guy and work with him. But yeah, Christmas Story.
You know, you guys
know that Ralphie from Christmas Story is an elf.
Really?
He is.
Is he?
He's Ming Ming. He's Ming Ming.
Who's Ming Ming?
You know the guy on the toy line where he's like, how many toys did you make today? He's like, I made 85. And he's like, that's not cutting it. That's Ralphie.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to go back and watch that tonight now.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Here are the things I love about A Christmas Story. Bob Clark. I mean, who doesn't love Bob Clark?
Yep.
The fact that movie was only made thanks to Porky's 2 the next day. That's absolutely true.
Right.
A lot of it was filmed not too far from me, just over the border into Canada. In fact, the scenes with the schoolhouse and the old fire truck is like 10 miles away from where I live. Mm-hmm. So everyone, every year they bring that truck out and parade it around as the truck from A Christmas Story right there. So that's kind of fun. Yeah. And plus, being a huge Slapshot fan, the classic, the greatest hockey movie ever made, the fact that we get to see Ralphie's mom naked in Slapshot makes it all worthwhile. Watching her do a sex scene with Paul Newman, excellent. It's true.
Now we're going to have to watch the movies side by side, you know, one after the other. Yeah.
And on that note, I'm going to have to call it a night because I've got work in the morning and it's 20 to midnight. So thank you.
All right, Lauren, thank you. We won't make you sing this year, but we love you and have a wonderful, wonderful Welsh Christmas.
You too. Have a very Merry Christmas.
Good night, Lauren.
Merry Christmas. Christmas.
Good night. Yes,
we wish you a Welsh Christmas. I don't know. Is that the song we're supposed to sing to her as she goes?
I think so.
Yes, it is.
And a pickle finding New Year.
I love Christmas. I love them.
Well, and guys, unfortunately, I'm gonna.
Oh. Yeah, we're gonna wrap up in about 3 minutes.
So oh, okay, all right.
Can you stick for three?
I can stick for three. Right.
Yeah, I love Christmas Evil. I love the Silent Night, Deadly Night trilogy. Or actually, it's up to five films now. But actually, I think my favorite Christmas movie. You know, and it's funny because I'm the big atheist of the group, but I think the original Miracle on 34th Street is such a great Christmas movie. Man. Just fell in love with that film when I was a kid. Love it.
And it wasn't even released on Christmas.
No. Really.
It was a summer movie. No.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Yep.
I feel like I've learned a lot today.
We're going to do one final question and then we're going to call it a happy holidays. And this one's not about the Christmas holiday. This is about New Year's because we're entering a new year in just a couple weeks. And
it's crazy.
Before we get to this is where I get all sappy and sentimental and emotional. And I just want to thank you all for coming on tonight. All of our guests throughout the year and all of our listeners, I want to thank you all. And I want to especially thank you for being here tonight. You know, we have a lot of laughs. We joke, we make fun of each other, we kid around, but I really do appreciate and I love you all very much. And I'm so glad we all got to become friends through the show and friends outside the show. And it's just, I love seeing y'all and I hope we all get together more often too. And you're all welcome back on anytime.
Sweet. Meet here tomorrow.
That's right. I'm not doing anything tomorrow.
Thank you, Brian. That was real nice.
I want to talk about the upcoming year. You know, it's really funny how fast time goes by. That, you know, it's a big banner year for me. Actually, just a couple months will be the big 5-0 for me. I hit the half a century mark. So
that's my dad's age.
Well, remember that thing about loving all of you so much?
Yeah. How did Casey get kicked out?
Yeah. Don't buy her book. No. But, you know, so I'm looking forward to this coming year, but I'm not looking forward to it because it's kind of that weird feeling thing. But going into the new year, what are your hopes, dreams, aspirations, something you're looking forward to the upcoming year for? And Tim, we'll start with you.
Oh, well, I mean, I just hope to make it through to next year and then maybe a few more after that. You know, I mean, I've got a 17-year-old daughter, and you know, I'm a few years older than you are, Brian. So I'm hoping that I'll be around long enough to see, you know, her grow up and eventually have kids. Not too soon with that, you know, being at 17. But yeah, you know, I mean, I just I'm hoping to stay the course and to remain healthy and like I said, just be there, you know, for my wonderful daughter.
Terry, it's up to you. What are you looking forward to for the upcoming year?
I'm looking forward to the day after Election Day and draw your own conclusions. You know, hey, that's sort of an open-ended statement. Fill in the blank, whatever. I'm just hoping for a good outcome. And really, that's the thing I'm hoping for the most and the thing that concerns me the most. And of course, I've been real lucky, and let's hope that continues too.
Casey?
I think it's hard to top living through the year, but I have to write my novel next year. I've just finished grad school, so I have to start the novel. And I have to work on Ravenmaster 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo. I wish they'd let me name it that. But I have to do that, and those are really the big things going into next year for me.
And the dog says, I just want treats. I heard that dog. And last but not least, Rad Chad himself, Jeremy. What are you looking forward to for the new year?
You know, I'm going to keep it simple this year because I think every year I have too large of expectations. I have something really weird happen. I just want to be happy. I want my family to be happy and healthy. And got a new baby on the way in April.
Oh,
I know. And that turns out well. And I just want to enjoy life, man. I just want to enjoy life.
Good for you.
Yep, sounds good.
Yeah.
And I
congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And if it's a boy named Ryan, of course.
It's a girl.
Brianna.
There you go.
I'm surprised you weren't bullied into naming it Han either way.
I have to because Han's a bully and he made me name my daughter Han 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yes. That's her middle name.
I wish you all the greatest holidays, the happiest of New Year's. And I hope you all agree to come back on the show. We'll all stay in touch. It's so good. Jeremy's like, no way. I've seen that pillow. I'm not going near that.
One of my New Year's resolutions is to never come back here again.
Well, my New Year's resolution is to stay in touch with all of you wonderful people and all get together again and have some good times and good memories. And hopefully everybody out there has some good times and memories and has a wonderful and safe holiday. And from everybody on the show and Lauren in Swansea, who is napping now because it's very late there, she's tucked herself into her little Welsh bed so that Santa can make sure she's being nice and, you know, we'll have the elf poop out little cigar things or whatever it does. And the pickle eats the elf or whatever. But everybody here, I want to wish you all a very, very happy holiday and a happy new year and good night.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas!